The following is a product of Piper Studios. This is Trending Mobile Technology, episode 86.
And welcome back. As said in the opener, this is episode 86 of Trending Mobile Technology. And as always, I am your, as of late, very negligent mobile host. What can I say, folks? I've been lazy. As always, you can get a hold of me, typemcdj@gmail.com. If you have questions, comments, articles to submit, etc., things of that nature, I will always be willing to entertain and discuss just about anything and everything. But really quick, before we get too far into episode 86, my little PSA. Yeah. There's anybody out there who's willing to be a co-host of Trending Mobile Technology. This isn't necessarily saying that you have to have a passion for the industry. Just, you know, you have an opinion. I would be more than willing to entertain applicants if interested, so we can discuss things from there. I'm thinking the solo thing is just, it's causing problems for me, that lack of accountability, for lack of a better term. I just, you spend so much time doing things a certain way, and then you just kind of get out of the habit. And one thing that I've found is when I'm inconveniencing a schedule, when somebody has modified their schedule to suit a question. For example, later on I have an episode of Game Face that I'll be recording with the folks from the UK. And there's a huge time difference. It's like 6 hours from here to there. But they're always willing to participate in showing up on Game Face. And I very seldom want to let them down with that because, A, they're reorganizing their schedule to help me out. So, you know, if you're interested in being a co-host or a regular sit-in, etc., let me know. And then we can just move forward from there. As always, you can get a hold of me on Google+. That's the best way. I do have a handle on Twitter, but I don't do very much on that just because I just don't, folks. I haven't done very much on Twitter for a very long time. And outside of that, we're just going to go ahead and move forward. It's been, if I'm not mistaken, it's been about 4 weeks, maybe five, since I've been on. And just to gloss over a couple of the things that... That happened since episode 85. Over in the continental United States, Sprint has decided that they're going to improve their network. Now, they are moving to what is called 8T8R technology, which is a complete upgrade for Spark. This is rolling out to 2.5 gigahertz and to increase reliability. Now, side note to that, I do happen to know, I've come to the acquaintance of a couple Sprint representatives in this area. And for the longest time, I have railed against Sprint, that their service has sucked, that they do not have the reliability that they require of many individuals who want and need that type of service. And how in certain areas their service is lacking. You know, when they overtook, when they bought up Nextel, I saw their service go from good to crap in the course of a month. Well, to be completely honest, this is not only coming from individuals in the Sprint camp, but also users of the Sprint network, as well as various other data tests from third-party companies. Sprint is improving to a point where the executives of Sprint have even come forward and said, hey, we are willing, in an effort to show that we are trying to improve our network, Sprint is going to take a page out of the T-Mobile notebook and give the average user an opportunity to test drive their network for 30 days. This, however, still does not compete with the good prices and better prices that many people get on the T-Mobile network. Matter of fact, I run into more and more every single day where they're switching to T-Mobile, A, because of cost. Now, pause a second. I've said it multiple times. If you look at the T-Mobile coverage map, in the area where I live, there's a lot of pink. And then there's a little white dot. Well, guess where I work? I work in the white dot. I still work in the white dot. Not quite sure how big that white dot is, but if things were to improve, you know, that might be a difference. And that's only because T-Mobile's primarily operating on the 700 megahertz network, and Sprint is working on an 8x8 network. Now, T-Mobile is in the process of rolling out an 8x8 and a 16x16. Some people are reporting data speeds up to and exceeding 48 megs down. So T-Mobile is doing work improvements in various other ways. So, you know, it's continuing on. Is Sprint actually going to buy T-Mobile? Are they going to merge together? There still has been no official press release. However, the FCC in their divine and infinite glory, the odds of them actually allowing that to go ahead, I think, are going to be slim to nil. That's just the way it is. They told AT&T to go stuff themselves when AT&T got big in their britches and said they wanted to buy T-Mobile, okay? The FCC jumped in and said, no, competition is good in this industry. We need four big major players. Okay, well, you know, even though Sprint and T-Mobile put together would still be a hard third, it wouldn't be four. Now, based on the previous logic of the FCC, now let us understand, FCC is Federal Communication Commission, all right? Federal is the operative word, implying that federal falling under the U.S. government. Given the federal government, the United States government's infinite wisdom, and for those watching, forgive me, Captain Awesome, the enhanced radio, I am doing the air quotes, their infinite wisdom, unquote, this is a non-logic situation, because in the past, the FCC has cited that, quote, competition is good in this industry, unquote. So, therefore, it would stand to reason that they would say the exact same thing if Sprint and T-Mobile were to propose a merger. However, the FCC, as a federal institution, in their divine and awesome intellectual stimulus, would not, in any way, shape, or form, deem it prudent to maintain integrity in that manner. Meaning, they could say, screw it. Sprint and T-Mobile, go right ahead and not think twice about it. While the rest of us would look and say, but you did this to T-Mobile not too long ago. And they'd be like, yep, so what? Big deal. Yeah, we're the FCC. We can do things like this. Da-da-da-da-da, move on. You know, I don't always agree with everything that the federal government does. I really don't. There's a lot of things they do. I just sit back, I scratch my head, and the older I get, I look, and I'm just like, what in the name of this world are they thinking? Whether it be one administration or another, whether it be bills, laws, etc., things like that are passed, you know, it just, they don't make sense to me. But not a politician, folks. Crap like that is way outside my pay grade. You know, I exercise my right to vote, so therefore I have the right to bitch and moan about it when people do stupid shit. But on the flip side to that, they're making a hell of a lot more money than I am, and they lie to me more than the weatherman does. But that's on them, not me. Anyhow, so Sprint, T-Mobile coming together, that's still kind of up in the air, unknown. A variable in the wind. There hasn't been anything said about it for a few weeks here. Save the final thing that John Ledger went on the record officially and said, what the hell is going on? I mean, he was pretty adamant, to which, to my understanding at least, there was no legitimate response. So Sprint, T-Mobile, not sure. I think that it's just, it's Deutsche Telekom and SoftBank are talking over everybody's head. I mean, it's not even making it down the chain. When you got the CEO of one company in John Ledger, who is by no means shy, when he's saying, what is going on? You know that there's a bit of a communication breakdown. So, more about that as it comes forward, and who knows. Glass holes are falling under more fire for whatever reason. Anybody that knows a glass hole, you know that in the Google Glass arena, A, resolution isn't very good. B, the battery life of the device sucks. C, you can get customizable glasses to go in the frames, okay? So tell me, please, the MPAA and the ASCAP and all the other copyright guys, what in the world are you thinking coming down against glass holes in a movie theater? I mean, really? Here we go. Multiple stories coming in, not only from the Wall Street Journal, but local newspapers, as well as many other news stories, where glass holes are coming under fire for being in a movie theater. Excuse me, sir, would you mind taking those off? No, sorry, they have my prescription lenses in them, so if I take them off, I will not be able to enjoy this movie. Do you mind? Excuse me, sir, we can't have you recording. I'm not. Have you seen the resolution on this device recently? Hello? 15 minutes? I'm looking at a, what is this, typically 2.5 hour movie? A, number one, resolution is going to suck. It is not designed as a full motion camera. Number two, battery life is only going to be about 15 to 20 minutes. So you're going to get, what, not even an eighth of the movie? I mean, are people really thinking this through? Now, don't get me wrong. Wearables are stepping forward a lot. Android Wear has been in the news at least 3 times a week. Not even joking. The biggest story that I went, no, you have got to be out of your mind. Last week, Minuum is a keyboard overlay. And many of you out there know that I swear by SwiftKey. I actually got into a pretty heated discussion with an individual late last week concerning SwiftKey and the new Google keyboard, the 4.4 keyboard, which, don't get me wrong, swipe is pretty cool, and the Google keyboard has continued to advance. SwiftKey just continues to get better because I like the cool colors. I mean, I'm running gray and lime. And I think it looks cool. I mean, I like it because green's one of my favorite colors, and that's the way it works. Anyhow, so Minuum, if you don't know what it is, Google it. Minuum. It is a keyboard overlay that is in a single line. Let me say that again. A keyboard overlay that is in a single line. It started out as a Kickstarter. I did not back this for the simple fact that I looked at it and said, yes, the extra added screen real estate would be cool, but the predictive text that SwiftKey offers is superior to anything else that is out there, at which I still swear by. I mean, it knows that when I text certain people, the words I'm going to use, etc. I mean, that's the way SwiftKey operates. And Minuum is a single line. Now, I haven't actually used anything for Minuum outside of a beta, all right? And the beta that I used was clunky. Now, don't get me wrong, the extra screen real estate was cool. But having it all there in a single line, and then if you go in and see, like, my biggest thing is the three-letter word A-N-D, and, all right? If I get in a hurry, if I'm walking and texting or something like that, many times I will type in or do the motion for and it'll come up ABS, abs. It happens all the time, all right? Now, if I do that, it's not that big a deal because I can just simple do hit backspace once, and then it pops up the corrected word, and, all right? That's not a big deal. With Minuum, when I've done that in the past, it is an utter pain in the butt, especially if I'm walking. I have to stop and focus on what I'm doing and back up and retype and try and do this and that and everything else. All right, now, fast forward to Android Wear. Minuum on Android Wear. What? I read that, I looked, and I had to look again, folks. I couldn't believe it. Minuum on Android Wear. Now, don't get me wrong, folks. If you want to be able to reply to a text message or an email, that's fine. I understand. Wearable technology is designed to be an extension of notification. If you want a keyboard on your wrist, strap a phone to your wrist. Or better yet, go to Samsung, tell them that you're interested in their little watch phone garbage Dick Tracy thing that they've got, and use that, okay? Wearables are designed to be notification extensions. They're not designed to be keyboards. I mean, there was a suggestion made, and I look at that, and I was like, that looks cool. You get a notification on your wrist, okay, fine. No, I don't have Android Wear. I'm waiting for the Moto 360 to come out, and if the price is efficient for me, I'll probably have one in short order. But what I would much rather see, you get a notification in, boom. You swipe it away, and if it requires a reply, you get five phrases that you have pre-designed. They're generic, okay? Now, back up a little bit. Many of you know I do a lot of stuff through Bluetooth. Many of you also know, if you followed me for any extended amount of time, I recently gave a breakdown for Agent Do Not Disturb. Now, follow me on this. If you have Bluetooth hands-free sets synced up and Agent Do Not Disturb engaged at the same time, you can actually control your device solidly with your voice. The only caveat to that is there can be absolutely no background noise. I mean, even if you're driving on the road and the windows are down, it won't work right. Well, you've got to talk loud enough to where it can understand you. But if I'm driving and I get an incoming text message, my phone will automatically read me the message, which is cool in its own right. And then it'll say, would you like to reply? If you would, please say send text. Then you got to say send text. And it'll say, what would you like to say? And then you tell it what you say. Well, I think you said this. And then blah, 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 blah. If this is correct, say yes or yes or no. You say yes or no. Okay, I'll send that message for you. Now, granted, this is all in context. I don't have the whole dialogue memorized, but it works. It works. Now, I understand being in a meeting. I understand being in class. I understand being in a situation where you can't talk to your watch or you can't talk to your phone or you can't talk in your hands-free set. I get it. I got that. But you do not need a complete keyboard on your wrist, especially if your wrist is designed to be a notification device. Honestly, give me the notification, let me swipe it away, and then give me five choices. I'm in a meeting, call you back, I'm on my way, be there in 20, gonna be late because some garbage whatever, and then pick two, fill in the blank. Call me later. Call you later. See you in 10 minutes. Whatever. All right? Here recently in the United States, they made it illegal to text and drive at the same time. That does not mean to find something else to do with your attention. Distracted driving in the United States is causing more problems for individuals than people know what to do with. And so what they've done, instead of pulling your phone out to look at it while you're driving, instead, you have to concentrate on making your voice clear to talk into your watch, your hands-free set. Hello. Look, folks, we're humans, okay? Some of us have short attention span. Some of us can't keep up with the rest of the world. Let's keep it simple, shall we? I mean, I don't need a keyboard on my wrist. If I wanted a keyboard on my wrist, I would strap my watch to it. And then I'd walk around like that guy from, Doom, the computer guy. What he had? There was one that was Doom. The other one was what was it? Old school. Help me out. Resident Evil, where he had the little portable computer on his wrist. Right? He was the geek, of course, the tech guy. He's always going to wind up dying anyway. But seriously, why do we need a keyboard on our wrist when it's supposed to be a notification device? All right, I've said enough about that. For those who are interested, the Black Phone has started to ship. The Black Phone, for those who don't quite know, is the totally secure, unspyable, and all that other kind of crap device, which in the back of my mind, I ask the simple question, do you seriously, honestly think this device has not already been troubleshot by the government? Many three-letter agencies, of whom shall remain nameless, know a hell of a lot more than you. This is one thing that has plagued our society for generations. For example, our doctors thought that they were getting smart in finding a way to treat cancer. Well, guess what? We wound up getting a reach-around by AIDS. And then we thought we had a handle on AIDS, and guess what? Cancer mutated. And then we wound up coming up with something else, like, oh, guess what? We're broke! All right! See what I'm saying here? If you think that there is technology out there on the market today that is completely and 100% secure, you are out of your damn mind. I've said it before, I will say it again. If you are on the internet, security is a paradox, okay? Your security and privacy is a paradox. And I'm currently working with Old School to try and get him back on here so he can have the final word. He is the guy that I go to for security questions and networking and corporate. He and I we've had the battles of legends. I mean, we've gone back and forth, but he continues to be an individual that I respect in this industry. And anybody out there that has articles, opinions on internet safety and security, please send them off to me. Reach out, let me know. PiperTheDJ@gmail.com. That hasn't changed. It's been the same thing that I've been giving you for 86 plus episodes, which, by the way, folks, this is my second year on the Trending Topics Network. No, it isn't my second year, but getting close. Anyway, you get the idea. There's been a lot of, people think, oh yeah, we're smarter than the government. You know something? Fuck you and the hole you climb out of. Okay, you're not smarter than the government. There's a lot of people that make a lot more money than you do, okay, whose job it is to make sure that they stay ahead of your curve. Yeah, sure. You might have a leg up. You might think of something that they haven't yet. But you know something? Everybody that deserves it gets caught. Every single last one of them. That's just the way it works out. Unfortunately, that's the government that we have running the United States. You might think you've got the government beat, but the bottom line is they're either stringing you along or they're waiting for you to hang yourself. I mean, what are we going to do, right? Okay, so Android distribution numbers are getting up there. They're increasing. Devices that are over the 4.1 build are, I believe, greater than 70%. Matter of fact, greater than 90% of new devices are on 4.4. And that is despite the OEMs being jerk-offs and making sure that their stupid sauce gets on the devices before it ships out to you, okay? I'm getting a lot of people, who are, as of late, they're receiving the 4.4 update, 4.4X. I just recently flashed to a 4.4.4 and dealing with the issues in that, but granted, I'm still on a Note 2. My next device, I haven't decided yet, Project Aura, Nexus 6. I don't know, Nexus 6, end of the year, Project Aura, beginning of next year. Totally different story. Anyhow, people are contacting me. They're receiving the 4.4 update. And it's giving them problems. Now, granted, the 4.4 update is coming down the pipe from Samsung. Okay, so let's understand this. Number one, or actually strike one, problem one, whatever you want to call it, Samsung, TouchWiz, bullshit. Ugh. I've gone on the record, I don't know how many times about that. Samsung is causing issues with MP3s in an attempt to force people to use milk. I still don't understand their naming scheme. Why call a music streaming service milk? I mean, no, I'm not thirsty. It's what I put on my cereal, put it in my coffee. Really? Milk? Anyhow, so I contacted a couple people I know who are sales representatives in this industry, not technicians, sales representatives. And they said, well, you need to download milk. I'm like, I don't want to download milk. These individuals that I'm trying to help don't want to download milk. They want their MP3s to work. And here's what the bottom line is, folks. It's the DRM. It's the DRM, the transcriptions. It's the ID3 tags. Currently, there's a lot of people out there citing the same thing. However, there's no actual workaround. The one thing that I've found which seems to hold pretty steady true is that VBR is what's causing the problem. So if you re-transcribe the MP3 file in question to a higher bit rate and lock that bit rate in, that should fix your problem. Now, I don't have a reality check on that yet. I don't know if that's for sure, but that's just what I'm hearing. Moving on down the list, the Gartner Group, the guys that have spent all those years dealing with PCs. Gartner Group, the same folks who have been advocating for technology of all different types. They've gone on the book citing, quote, PC sales will rise next year, regarding 2015, proportionate to tablet sales. Now, end quote. These are the same groups that have gone on the books citing that tablet sales have surpassed PCs, surpassed laptops. These are the folks that, I believe a year ago, 2 years ago, they said we are, quote, in a post-PC era. The reality of that, there's a lot of different people who have different opinions on that. Go to a university, you see more people carrying around laptops and Bluetooth keyboards than you do tablets and Bluetooth keyboards than you do laptops, depending again on the major. Many executives, what are they carrying in their briefcases? They're not carrying a laptop in their briefcase. They're carrying a tablet. They're carrying the iPad. They're carrying the Nexus, whatever. The Samsung bullshit, whatever they got there, okay? The tablets are becoming more and more versatile, which, by the way, this catapults me into another story concerning console OS. I read this story, and it pissed me off ridiculously. Console OS, currently it is a Kickstarter project. They got funded, and they're continuing to raise money. Here's what it is. They want to put Android on a desktop computer, on a dual boot system. Now, there are so many issues with this problem. I can't even begin to put it into words. The first issue we run into with this is if you go back into the archives and you find my Microsoft special where Mr. Old School and I went back and forth concerning Microsoft in the mobile space, one of the things that he said is Windows Mobile 8 is designed for a mobile OS. And they built the tablet on top of the mobile OS. And they built the desktop on top of the mobile OS. What? No! Now, ubiquitous networking is one thing, okay? But having the same operating system, not only on my hip, but also my tablet, my desktop? No! No, no. Let me throw it in the cloud, move on from there. That's not really necessary. That's not really a requirement. I don't want Android on my desktop. Now, granted, I tried a Chromebook, okay? I did. I gave it a valid try, but there's just... As some people would say, I cannot live in a browser. One prime example is this podcast. I cannot live in a browser for the simple fact that I cannot find an efficient audio editing software package that works on Chrome OS. Okay? Console OS, no. I don't want Android on a laptop. If I wanted Android on a laptop, I'll get a Chromebook. Okay? But I don't want it. I don't need it. It's unnecessary. If I need to be able to utilize something in the cloud, I can throw out my Google Drive and move on from there. I don't need that ubiquitous networking. At one point in time, I thought it would be cool. Okay? I really did. But as it stands right now, no. It's not really necessary for me. You know, so PCs going to outsell tablets next year? No, I don't think so. PCs are going to increase. Now, Windows 9 is supposed to be a bigger step in the right direction. I mean, Windows 9 is supposed to continue to make things better with the memos and such that Satya Mandela released a couple of weeks ago. I would like to see Microsoft continue moving in the right direction. At you know, what's going to happen? I don't know. I'm excited to see what's going to happen. Now, granted, the past few weeks, it's been the same stories recirculated over and over and over and over and over again. Android Wear, Nexus, Microsoft, Android Wear, Nexus, Microsoft, iWatch, you know, all these things. iWatch, when's it going to come out? What are we thinking it's going to do? How's it going to look? What's it going to be like? Well, for one, we already know it's going to be sexy. For two, it's going to be working on the iOS, and it's going to be built in incorporating Mac and iPhone and iPad. Okay, we get that. Android Wear, yes, the next step in Android technology, giving you a notification system that works the way that it's supposed to. Yes, we get that. Microsoft, what are they doing? They laid off 13,000 people out of 18,000 at Nokia, and they've got all this other crazy crap. Satya Mandela, he composed a memo and just said, nope, you know what? Fuck it. Put it on the website. Let everybody see it. Announcing that they're changing gears, getting... When Jobs passed away, it took Tim Cook, I believe, 3 years to get out of the Cook era. Okay? 3 years, if I'm not mistaken. Satya Mandela, the dust hasn't even settled on Steve Ballmer yet. And he's already coming up saying, guess what? We're changing direction. We're going to focus cloud resources. Now think about this. Satya Mandela, where did he work? He worked on server infrastructure. He worked on the executive. He worked on the corporate. He worked on making it efficient, available, and usable to everybody. Where Steve Ballmer, he had a lot of different things that he wanted, but, I mean, a lot of the stuff that he put out, to be completely honest, sucked. Windows Mobile 6, Windows Mobile 7, Windows ME, Windows, you know, many other. Vista? Many. I mean, there's still some of that crap that Microsoft is trying to recover from. Bad decisions that Ballmer's made. And Satya Mandela pretty much came out saying, we're going to focus on cloud systems. And getting away from the Ballmer mission statement. And they said, we need to look more to our Xbox. Now, time out. Pump the brakes. Slow down a lot. Focus on the Xbox. For one, I will probably never own an Xbox One. Ever. Okay? It doesn't appeal to me. Xbox on, Xbox off, Xbox tuned to, whatever. Hey, I want to watch whatever. No, I'm sorry. If you're listening to this and you're in favor of that, okay. And this is, follow me on this, folks. This is going to be a stretch, but it's going to make sense. Let's just say it's date night, okay? You and your lady, you get a candlelight dinner, you're sitting around, you have a little bit of wine, maybe some champagne, some good pasta to go with it. You're sitting down, you're watching a movie, and things start to progress, okay? They start to move on. And that Kinect is sitting right there on top of the TV, and the Xbox One is still on. Time out, folks! I'm sorry, I look at that and I just say, ew, that's like high on the creep factor. Now, don't get me wrong. I understand some people might go on that, but somebody like me, I just, you know, I'm not like the most conspiracy theorist-minded individual on the face of the earth, but I don't need my Xbox staring me in the face when my lady and I are having an intimate moment in front of the TV. I mean, really? No. So they're going to gear more towards the Xbox. What exactly they're going to do, I don't know. I missed that. I had those notes, and I don't. But then shortly after posting that memo on the Microsoft website, they went and they laid off a bunch of people. The first layoff in a really long time for Microsoft. A lot of people have been laid off. Nokia is a lot of people light. And many technologists are asking themselves, what is going on? Why did they buy Nokia if they're going to lay all these people off? Well, why did Google buy Motorola? And then they sold it again for a fraction of what they bought it for. I mean, it's the same thing. Something else that came up over the course of the week was the TSA. Whereas, if you're getting ready to go for a flight, TSA might require you to power your device on. Well, here's a problem. Let's say your phone is, the battery's dead, and it's an HTC M7 or an M8, and you can't swap the battery out. You don't have any power or nothing like that. What are you going to do? Well, guess what? There's been records of people having to throw their phones away for fear that it might be used as a explosive device of that nature. My good buddy MJR, he works for the TSA, okay? And I sent this article off to him, and I asked him for his comment. And he wrote back very shortly after I sent it off initially, and he says, quote, "People, calm down. It's not for everybody. It's a security measure that's only for people who already have to go through extra screening. Chances are no one going from New York to Idaho would ever have to power up their devices. Again, it's only for people who have a special designation on their boarding pass that says they have to go through secondary screening," unquote. So the next question you have to ask, what prompts secondary screening? People coming in the country, people going out of the country. People who might, I don't know, has your bag been in your possession all the time? No, I let somebody else pack it for me. Duh. I packed my bag and threw it on the back porch the next day, and I let it sit there all night. Duh. No, secondary screening, folks. This is coming directly from a TSA agent, okay? So, if you are designated for secondary screening, meaning international flights, dead giveaway, right there. Okay, if you're on an international flight, might as well expect you're going to have to go through secondary screening. If I'm not mistaken, and I'm not talking about completely random either, if I'm not mistaken, domestic flights are not subject to this, right? If I read the article and interpreted the article correctly, domestic is not affected by this. It's strictly international. There was also major updates to Google Maps as well as Gmail. Gmail will now auto-insert a link. So if you remember how a couple weeks ago I was talking about drag and drop with Google Drive and then insert a link. I was talking about the Mobile World Congress PowerPoint. Well, now you can drag and drop an item into your Gmail Compose window. And it will automatically create a drive link as it uploads it to your drive. So this is kind of cool. I mean, it'll automatically share it, automatically establish the permissions for it, et cetera, stuff like that, and put it in your drive to where you can delete it at a later date. There is a customer service phone call, and I will allow you to locate it. It's on SoundCloud. And if you just do a Google search or a Bing search, take your pick, for Comcast customer service phone call, I believe it's a 9-minute clip. It's between Russell Brand, who is a noted AOL employee, as well as one of the, quote, number one rated broadband providers in the continental United States, Comcast. There's a reason why I'm not a Comcast customer, and I'll get into that here in a minute. Where the customer service representative would not take no for an answer. Okay? A little bit of backstory. Customers getting ready to move. They decide that at their new residence, they do not want Comcast service. So, before they move, they're going to call cancel service. Comcast agents will not take no for an answer. And this entire call, this agent is going out of his way, over the top, beyond what is necessary. Almost to a point of badgering. I mean, by the end of the phone call, I'm going, geez, dude, just fucking take it. Stop. You're giving me a headache. All right? Now, I've worked in customer service before. I've worked in a call center before. I've been in situations where people call in, they want to deactivate, you need to have a reason why. They don't want to give you a reason why? Fine. Put in the blank, no answer given, move on. Okay? There doesn't have to be a reason why. Okay? If your QA agent wants a reason, they can listen to the phone call and audit it. Otherwise, move on. This was over the top. Now, I understand there's residual incomes and things of that nature that are associated with all this. And this particular Comcast rep didn't want this strike against him. But that is just, that's crossing the line, dude. He doesn't want the service? Fine. Having been in that situation before, I told the agent, I was like, look, you really don't want me to answer that. I'm like, no, really, we want to know. Why don't you, we're the number one rated broadband provider in the continental United States. What's wrong with the service? I was like, what is your bandwidth, your speed supposed to be? Well, you'll receive up to 20 megs a second up and down. I said, okay, up to. And what if we don't receive anywhere near that? Well, you've got anywhere from 1 to 20 that it can be in between, but the max is going to be 20. I said, so if I go 6 months averaging 2 megs up, what does that mean? And 2 megs down. Well, that's within the acceptable parameters. I'm like, maybe for you, but that's bullshit to me. I said, honestly, I'm disconnecting because your service sucks. You can't give me a viable reason to explain why for months on end, if I'm paying you good money to provide me broadband service, the quote, number one broadband service provider in the continental United States, at 2 megs a second symmetrical? Sorry, folks, I switched over to DSL and I'm getting 10 up and 10 down. Well, I'm sorry. I take that back. I switched over to DSL. I'm getting 3 up, 12 down. And I'm paying half. Now, granted, Comcast is the one-stop shop. But the counter to that, I'm a cord cutter, folks. I don't need cable. I don't need 60,000 channels. All I need is an internet connection, and I'm happy. I'm an Amazon Prime subscriber. I'm a Netflix subscriber. I don't need all the extra crap. I don't need all the other garbage that comes along with Comcast. This phone call, if you make it all the way through without either getting upset, irritated, or shut it off before it's over, you're a better person than I am, because by the time it was over, I was ready to figure out who the heck this guy was. And Comcast has gone under a lot of fire over this. Now, don't get me wrong. I've worked in customer service, and I've been in the situation where you get that customer that calls up saying, hey, I need to cancel your service, okay? Why do you want to cancel your service? That's the first question. Well, actually, first you're supposed to empathize. Well, I'm sorry that we're going to be losing you as a customer. If you don't mind my asking, why? Now, you don't necessarily have to go through all, that persnickety, but you get the general idea. Well, I'm sorry we're going to be losing you as a customer. Why do you, and many times it's like, oh, we're switching to cell phone, or oh, we're switching to VoIP, or oh, we're switching to this, or oh. Now, granted, this was a few years back, okay? But cell phones were getting to be popular at this point. And things were getting difficult in certain industries. I mean, certain things were starting to go down, which I get. I understand that 100%. But if a customer calls up and says, I need to cancel my service, how far is too far? Well, look, why don't you want to? Well, XYZ reason. Go blow a goat. Go screw yourself. I don't want to tell you. Fill in the blank. Whatever. Ask once, then move on. After once, you're being a pest, as far as I'm concerned. And ask just about any customer service operative that's out there, agent that's out there. You ask once, maybe twice, but never a third. I mean, this guy went on for minutes and minutes and minutes, and I've already wasted too much time on this story. If you want to listen to it, you're more than welcome to, and then we'll just move on from there. Device unlocking is legal again in the continental United States. You can, at the discretion of your carrier, provided the fact that you've paid off your device and it's been a certain amount of time for waiting, I believe it's 90 days, and you're in good standing, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, your carrier will unlock your device. They will. They can. They can give you an unlock code. They can send it OTA, et cetera. But on the flip side to that, you can do it on your own, legally. Okay, there's plenty of kiosks at just about every mall you go to where you can say, hey, I need to switch this phone over to a different network. The only thing that you have to remember is GSM is not compatible with CDMA. That means if you're a Verizon customer or Sprint, you are screwed. That's right, T-Mobile, AT&T, Sprint actually has a split network, but they're on GSM technology. Verizon, unfortunately, because of their douchebaggery and their inability to look past the end of their nose, they feel that CDMA is more solid, and when every other technology company in the world was getting ready to switch over to GSM, they said, no, we're going to stick with CDMA and fuck ourselves. And guess what? 10 years later, they sure as hell did. So, anyway, phone unlocking is legal, again. Not that you could prove one way or the other what was illegal, however it works out. But, you know, those of you that wish to unlock your devices, if you live in the continental United States, you are more than welcome to do so, again, with the blessing of the FCC. Once again, the operative word is federal. However that works. All right, last story, and then, might be my last. I don't know. I've already eaten up a lot of time, and I didn't realize how fast things were getting. I just jumped up my soapbox, and it feels good to get on your soapbox every once in a while. Anyhow, Google Plus. You remember, maybe it was over a year ago. I don't remember. You have to ask Obi on that one, because he and I had a great big old conversation about it. It was over a year ago because it was before I moved, where Google, in their infinite wisdom, they had determined that only legitimate names were going to be allowed for Google+. And that was, it had something to do with the anti-trolling and all that other kind of crap that was going on with YouTube. Well, turns out that they've come around and they've said, yeah, you can use fake names again. Anybody who has received email from me knows that my email account is piperthedj@gmail.com. As far as Google knows, my name is Piper. No, my name is not actually Piper. Many people know me as Piper the DJ. Yes, I get that. It's a nickname. Something has just kind of grown on me over the years. But that's always been part of my moniker. Well, now Google Plus is allowing you to use aliases again, but there's still email associations that are with that. And that also provoked another survey where 22% of individuals in social media use Google Plus once a month. 255 million people use Twitter once a month. Now, how does this compete with Facebook? I'll be honest with you. I use Google Plus on almost a daily basis for various things. I have many people I'm in contact with on Google+, many things I do on Google+, and just a couple things that I do on Twitter. But even less that I do on Facebook. I'm on Facebook maybe once a week, once every 2 weeks, twice a month, perhaps. Nothing serious. So where is the reality and where is the fiction? I'm not quite sure, but, you know, what are we going to do? We're going to move on from there and see what happens. You know, folks, my hour is almost up. This is episode 86. It has been a blast. I want to say thank you for being patient with me through my spout of laziness. If there's anything you want to talk about, toss me an email, piperthedj@gmail.com. I don't know how many times we're going to say it, but, you know, it's there. Got lots of stuff coming on. Many thanks to MJR for your inputs concerning the TSA, as well as many other people. I'm going to have a security special coming up here very soon, so please stay tuned for that, as well as some other things going on in the very near future. Now, as always, you can find Trending Mobile Technology right here on the brand new TrendingTopicsNetwork.com, where you can find great shows like Old School to Movies, Spanish Announce Table, and returning to the Trending Topics Network Tunes. That's right, folks. Jack and Brian are back on the air, and they are coming back to the TTNet right here with Tunes. Now, something else you can always do is Mr. Old School, he has a tendency to produce other shows. For example, he's got the Wayback Throwback, he's got the Generational Gap, and just about anything else that he feels like doing, which could be classified as retro. And on the ultimate side of life, I also present Game Face, which is a gamer podcast that gives you the other side of the gaming console. But for now, this is episode 86 of Trending Mobile Technology. I am your host, Piper the DJ. Tune in next week. That's right, folks. I said it. Next week, I'm getting myself back into the habit. I'm getting myself back into a routine. I might be changing around a couple days here to figure out exactly what day works best, but I'm forcing myself back into the saddle again, for lack of a better term. Yep, no arrowsmith from there, right? Anyhow, I'm forcing myself back in the saddle again, and here I am. Okay, so from all of us to all of you on the mobile scene, I am Piper the DJ, taking a bite out of the mobile space. Good night.